us, like, because we also don't have a name for the podcast.
Oh,
so we're like Ron's Honky Tonk Podcast. It sounds a bit plain, doesn't it?
Chats with Ron's Honky Tonk.
That's similar to what Brooke said. Brooke said Ron's Honky Tonk Talks or something like that. R-H-T-T.
Ron's Chatty Tonk.
Tonky Ronk Chat.
Tonky Ronk Chat. Well, that's like a tongue twister. It's like Tonky Ronk's Chat.
Yeah. Maybe you could do like a jingle for the podcast.
Welcome to Ron's Honky Tonk.
Yeah. Well, welcome, Random Page.
Perfect.
Yeah. Welcome to the podcast. Really appreciate you coming out. What's your beef with lemonade?
Do you know what, right? Everyone, I think my messages have had been like, just quick one. Like, I don't think it is, but like, do you actually not like lemonade? And
I always like, bought a bottle for you.
Did you? Yeah. If it was homemade, I would have been like, oh yeah, don't give me no sweats. I'm not going to appreciate that. But brilliant. I actually do really like lemonade. But the song's a metaphor for the negative people.
Right.
And, so,
okay, I didn't think that deeply
about it. If life gives you a lemon,
yeah,
and a lemon's sour, you know?
I see.
Really sour. Put it in your mouth, and you're just like, then,
right.
You know.
I like it.
Just throw it away.
That's cool.
Because I don't like.
Yeah. So, what was the process like writing that song?
Do you know what? This song has been written many years ago.
Okay.
So, like, this is one thing that's, like, propped up since I've, like, done it. Everyone's like, oh, so what was the writing process like? I'm like, I mean, I do remember writing it at the time, but I was definitely around like 16 years old around then. I wrote it with someone I was in a duo with at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So we wrote it together. And it literally was simply a case of we kind of like came up with the chorus and then we're like, oh, this is like a metaphor for this. And then let's start talking about this. Because at the time, like, I really struggled like in school with like friendships and like being bullied and blah, blah, blah. And it's kind of that thing of like how I was feeling at the time, like just because people have been in your life forever doesn't mean actually that they know you better than someone else that might pop into your life now and actually spend that time getting to know you. So yeah, kind of stemmed from that.
Yeah, cut out the sourness and bitterness.
But it is funny, I was talking to my parents the other day, they're like, you do realize like that line that where you say, the thing I find in life, nothing ever goes as planned, just like I was for my mum and dad. No.
Oh, damn.
But the irony is...
we need to talk.
I was the planned child. I was.
Right.
It was my brother that wasn't planned, okay. You know? He was the first child. Didn't plan it.
Yeah.
Happened.
The accident.
So, you know. But some things just sound great in a song, so you just accept.
Got to roll with it. Like, make a disclaimer to people. Like, this isn't about you. I think that's kind of how comedy works. Like stand-up comedians, like, come up with all sorts of stories about their family or whatever, and it's just, like, it never happened.
Yeah.
It's just, like, made up. So, yeah, I mean, like, how do you think that... what kind of barrier do you think there is between writing songs and... real life and what we, especially being in the UK, because I mean, with country music, like it doesn't sound country when we're not using certain terminology and like the accents, like we talk about, you know. So, like, how do you think that you can adapt to that as a as a British artist?
I think it's one thing that like I have struggled with and struggled with for a long time. I'm only starting to come to terms with the fact of just accepting this is me and this is what I do, this is my sound. Because I've always toyed with the fact that sometimes I listen to my songs, I listen to other people's songs, I'm like, but they're so fit into the country category, like, you know exactly what they are, what they're trying to achieve. But like, I think, like, say with me, and like, I'm sure like everyone else does the same thing, writes from a very real place, but like, I do have that UK-ness twang like in it, and so like you can very much I think tell that I am a UK singer. But I think like when it comes to writing songs, like I have the fun songs and stuff, and like my first song Honky Tonk that I released is very much like that country song of wanting to, everyone's got that song and they're like longing to be in Nashville and stuff. But I think Yeah, I try to keep it really real because I think people relate to it. Sometimes I think you can be a little bit too real, and I probably sometimes have done that before. But yeah, I think you just have to roll with what you have, and I feel like I struggled with that, but now I'm like there.
Yeah, you kind of got to own it,
haven't you? Question.
No, yeah, definitely. I mean, because I wrote down, like, and we were listening to in the car, or I was listening to my AirPods as well before on the train, and Easy Ain't Right.
Yeah,
that's definitely my favorite one.
Is it?
Yeah.
Ah.
And I think because you probably, it's like you're being yourself as well. Like that's like who you truly are as an artist. I don't know, like, whether you can speak on that, but and I think that's probably what I've been trying to on these podcasts that we've been having is I asked Finn and Brooke the same question about how do you think that UK country music can differ to what the US offers? Because again, with country music stereotypes, I don't know if you ever watched the what's his name, Grady, is it Grady Smith? The guy that does all like the YouTube videos about country music, and he breaks down their statistics and their albums, does album reviews and things. And he did a video on the most popular words or most common words used in country music. And it's quite surprising, actually. Girl, I think, was the most.
Girl.
Yeah, right, not truck or beer or whatever.
Oh, fair enough.
Yeah, and so like, how do you think the UK country music will evolve?
That's a tough question. I think the main thing with country music, like, progressing forward is actually, like, the fan base and people from the UK, like, coming to terms with UK country. Because obviously, like, there is that whole, like, divide between American country and UK country. I think if people just, like, because I'm a strong believer in, I don't think you have to, like, have grown up around pickup trucks and, you know, all those sort of things to sing country music. Like, at the end of the day, it is a genre. Like, what's, like, there's nothing stopping me from singing rock music or pop music. So why is there this whole, like, barrier between, like, UK people singing country music? It's like, for a fact, like, one of my best mates, Katie, she's a country singer and she literally lives on a farm. And so it's like, well, actually, she's got the pickup truck, she's got the horses, do you know what I mean? She's got the boots. So, like, actually, what is it that's so, like, wrong about her doing it? So I think, like, and it definitely is progressing, like, so much more now, but I think, like, actually people stepping on our side and, like, pushing us all together and going forward with it, I think that will actually have the biggest impact on UK country music, if that makes sense. So but I think it's definitely getting there for sure. But there is, like, I don't know if you're, like, are you in, like, Cowboys and Cowgirls UK or something, the group chat, or Facebook?
Oh, yes.
It's not a group chat,
Facebook. Yeah, and they do have you seen those, like, Facebook group chats that they're making
now? Yeah, there's one for, like, Bristol, where everyone talks about, like...
It's kind of annoying, like, you get added to a random group chat for, like, some page that you've liked or whatever,
But then even, like, from seeing, like, things that go on there and stuff, there's been so many, like, chats, especially after, like, country to country, about saying that, like... Some people are all for, like, more UK artists being on, like, the main stages, but then there's a hell of a lot of people that are actually coming forward and being like, oh, they haven't earned their place and stuff. And it's like, well, what makes you earn your place? Do you know what I mean? Because we've got so much talent out there.
Yeah.
So, like, what is it that then is going to differentiate them and actually push them? I don't know.
Yeah, I think, like... I think that's kind of the reality, isn't it? Like, if a US artist comes to the UK, they're immediately going to get all the attention just because they're American.
Yeah.
But maybe it's the same. I don't know what. There's not really an exclusive UK genre, is there, that we, like, own and will go to the US? You know what I mean? Like, an equivalent where we would go over. I suppose, like...
Indie music.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I think, like, or like the 1D thing.
Yeah,
whatever that was.
Right, yeah. Boy band era.
Yeah. Because I'm so interested in, like, the history of music and how it all evolves. And because, like, in the 60s and 70s, you had I mean, all of the how rock and roll started, you know, because like Rolling Stones, the Beatles, they were all British bands that kind of started that trend and that genre blend. And it turned into what it is today, you know. Yeah. So if it weren't for those people coming over and vice versa, and it just, it's kind of like a mishmash of...
Yeah. I feel like it is funny now you say it. I've never really, like, thought about it, but, I mean, maybe... I suppose you've got, like, Billie Eilish and Sabrina Carpenter. I suppose that's, like, pop.
Mm.
Just pop, I don't know. But, I don't personally know of any... Oh, maybe I do. Maybe this is going to be a really stupid thing to say. But
go for it.
But I was going to say, like, I don't really know that many American, like, rock bands.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Is Paramore American? Is that a silly question?
Yeah, yeah. They might be, like, Canadian or something. Oh, maybe. Same thing.
Yeah. I was not going to say this, and then it's going to be like...
Yeah, I think Paramore are definitely some kind of American. Mm, North, kind of South, American. Or Central.
Canadian,
yeah.
But, you know.
Yeah. Because America is like a continent, isn't it? So it's like, if you call them American, it's like playing it safe, you know?
My geography.
Yeah.
Not so, point.
Yeah, on that note, who's kind of your inspiration, you know, or like what's inspired your music as it is today?
So I grew up on a lot of like rock music through my dad. And then it's weird, like, because I remember these, they're all like so different. Ultimately, it stemmed into that. So, like, I discovered First Aid Kit, if you know who they are.
No,
they're great.
Either.
It's a bit more like folky than country folk, but more folk.
Yeah.
They're amazing. So, I listen to them like all the time. Kacey Musgraves is probably the first, like, again, she's gone more folk now, but back in the day, I feel like she was like country. So, she was definitely like one of my like top ones to listen to like all the time, but also stemming from rock. I don't know if you've heard of a southern rock band called Blackberry Smoke.
Yes.
So, yeah, I've seen them, like, multiple times and stuff.
So that's definitely the voice inspiration.
Yeah. And, because it's weird. Like, I feel like I write quite, like, poppy. But then I have got certain songs where they are more rocky. But I think my voice lends itself to the rocky side just because it's
you definitely need to belt more.
I need to write myself a Before He Cheats by Carrie Underwood.
Yeah.
But it's just, you know, how do you achieve that?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, like, some of the greatest songs were written in like 5 minutes, weren't they?
Yeah.
I mean, Fleetwood Mac's, what was the lead singer of Fleetwood Mac? Sorry. Stevie Nicks. She wrote Dreams in like 5 minutes, apparently, at the end of her bed on like a keyboard.
Oh, wow.
Like 5-10 minutes. And Dolly Parton wrote 9 to 5 and Jolene in the same day. Apparently.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So,
to be fair, though, like, I feel like that is the thing. Like, once the thing comes to your head, I'm like, oh, I have to finish it now. If I leave it too long, like, certain bits will change throughout the process. But I feel like once you've got an idea down and that's it, like, heads down, get it done.
Is that always the case with your writing process, or do you have like a fixed, you're like, okay, I'm gonna sit down and write a song and this is how it's gonna work, and or do you kind
I
of
try.
Come up with a melody and like,
well, it's more like if I force myself to sit down and write a song, it's not gonna happen. So like, it is kind of an idea pops into my head and then I'm like, oh, or I'm like really in the mood or sad and I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna write a song. And see what comes out. Most of the time it is kind of like I write something and then I'll try and finish it. And then, certain bits will change. But then recently, like, I have written a bit of a song, but I just don't know how to finish it. But I'm like, I know that I like the bit that I've written so far.
Yeah.
But usually it does just come out, but not that often.
Yeah, nice. So what keeps you motivated with the climate in the UK with country music and the challenges that we're facing and, you know, various aspects? What keeps you motivated?
I think because it's, like, the only thing I want to do. And so, like, I get down a lot of the time. Like, mental health is such a huge part in music. And I do get, like, very down. And I realise that probably everyone does get down. And so... like, I'm not alone in that. But there is, like, that thing of, oh, am I doing enough? Is it worth, like, this stress, like, I'm putting my pressure on myself, like, to do this certain thing. But then I always go back to being like, well, this is all I want to do. And actually, as much as I want to make it so far, and I will keep continuing to try and get as far as I can, I'm still doing what I love. So really, what matters? Like, it doesn't matter whether I'm, you know, singing on the O2 or not. Obviously, I want to get there, but it's like, you know, as long as I'm happy, you need to, like, not lose sight of, happiness, because otherwise you can really, like, downward spiral in the whole music business. But
that, because that was going to be one of my questions. And I asked Finn the same question. What would you be doing if you weren't doing this? Like, the lyric.
I do actually have the answer to this. As much as I say, like, there isn't anything else I want to do, but growing up, I'd
be working
always...
in Tesco.
No, I would love to deliver babies, like, be a midwife.
Okay.
Like, honestly, if music doesn't work out, but I just don't think I'm clever enough, so.
You could, like, do the same at the same time. You could, like, sing... to the mothers.
Whilst delivering a baby.
You know,
Come on, baby.
That could be your, like, hit. You know, like you're saying, like, before he cheats, that could be your, like, if you write that. You know, maybe. Because it would be, like, the quirkiest country song. You could make a country song.
The quirkiest country song. Deliver your baby. Come on. Just
think
about that
beer. Yeah. Nice. So another question. What's on the next page for Rhiannon Page?
Oh,
like that, that was good, wasn't it?
That was great. Yeah, they might feel the right. But sorry, I'm like totally
stupid questions like that.
Off the thing. No. The amount of people, I didn't realise that page, the name, could actually spell like turning the page without the I. And so the amount of people that write P-A-G-E, and it's one of those things that I don't mean to get annoyed at, but it really frustrates me. And I'm like, have you written my name as Paige? Is that
so
an I? Fuming.
I'm out. Just like gets up and walks out.
Literally. I didn't know why. Like, I know, like, there's no, like, harm in what they're doing, and I'm just like... Like, why? I'm not turning the page. But apparently, you can spell it that way. And then
I kind of brought
back down to my level. And I was like, okay, it's fine. Anyway, what was the question?
What's next? What's on the next page for Rhiannon
Page?
P-A-I-G. Yeah. So what's your next plans, you know, with your career and music? And
so... I've got, like, lots of fun, like, festivals happening next year and hopefully more to come and stuff. I love festivals. My favourite thing to do. I am actually releasing my first collaboration with a very good friend of mine. We actually worked together. And, yeah, that's coming out. It was supposed to come out either the night of Ron's Honky Tonk or my birthday on the 11th. But we decided... too much stress, need more time. So that's coming out early next year, which is nice.
Okay.
And then I've got my favourite songs yet to record, so I'm excited to get in the studio doing those, because I feel like my writing has progressed, like, a lot since I did, like, my EP and everything. As much as I love those songs, like, you know, I feel like there's lots of exciting songs to come.
So would you say there's kind of like a new you on the horizon?
Yeah, I'd say so. Like, I feel like I'm more finding my sound a bit more now. And it's so funny, I went, like, I've got a new song, I think I'm gonna do it later, and I went to, like, my band and I sang it to them, and my bassist was like, it's very Rhiannon Page. And I was like, well, what do you want? I was like, found my sound. Like, I think I'm discovering where I want to sit with it all. But, yeah.
Awesome. So tell me a little bit about how you got into music in general, but country music as well. So, you know, how did you get into performing?
So I do tell this story to, like, a lot of people just because it's the truth. I was, like, born with 70% loss of hearing until the age of, like, 8. And a lot of kids are born with it, and they have, like, grommets, and it's... cures it and it goes away and everything, but for me it, like, didn't, nothing was working, so I had to have skin grafts done in both my ears, and then I regained my hearing when I was about 8, And then I remember sitting in a music lesson and I was in year eight. So what are you, like 12, 13 maybe? 12?
Yeah, like 12, 13, yeah.
Yeah. And this girl, she was sat singing and playing guitar, and I was just looked at her, and at the time I was having piano lessons.
Mm-hmm.
I looked at her and I was like, oh, I want to teach myself to play guitar. And luckily my dad had this like really cheap like Yamaha, I think. And I literally went home and I just looked up YouTube videos and taught myself to play guitar and just did it like for hours and hours. Mm-hmm. Every single night. And then I started singing along once I got the knack of the guitar, and I was literally tone deaf, like I couldn't sing at all. And then eventually, like, I don't know, I just stuck with it. Like, I'd never had lessons or anything.
Okay.
And I just taught myself to sing, essentially. And yeah.
Yeah, interesting.
But I think, like, because I couldn't, it was something, like, new to me.
Hmm.
Like, and I really just enjoyed music. Again, like, my dad's a massive inspiration. Like, he brought me up listening to music, like, all the time. So I just really enjoyed it.
So how did you get into country music then?
That was like through, like I say, like my dad with the whole rock music, going into Southern rock,
mm-hmm.
discovering. Yeah, he always listened to First Aid Kit. You're going to have to check him out now. yeah. And then, yeah, that kind of like stemmed like Casey Musgraves. And obviously the Shires came about. Mm-hmm. So I very much got into the Shires.
They're like the OGs now, aren't they?
Yeah. Like and yeah, you mean like you listen to one thing and it stems onto another thing and then you realise like, oh, I'm into country, you know. So... yeah, definitely my dad's musical influence. Not that he was like solidly like into country, but I feel like a lot of genres lead into another and
yeah.
before you know it, they are.
And I feel like that's I mean, I definitely hear that in your music, you know, and that's a really good thing, that it's like a kind of, you can hear inspirations in people's voices and their music. And I think it's good to have that because that's just where we are.
Yeah.
As a generation, musically, there's nothing new under the sun. Everything's kind of not being reused, but you know what I mean? Like everything's kind of repeating in a similar way. But it's good to blend music and, you know, even like Luke Combs' Fast Car, it's like, you know, he did it slightly differently and he's somehow made it country, whatever that means. And it's like, I think it was more successful than the original. I think.
I feel like
maybe
it was
incorrect. Yeah, so yeah, that's really cool. And do you know who Beth Hart is? The blues singer.
Maybe if I like heard songs.
Yeah. Well, that's who I hear in your voice.
Oh, really?
Especially when you belt. Yeah, because she is like an awesome singer. Definitely check her out.
I see, I love a bit of blues music, like I genuinely think, like, if I wasn't doing country, I'd either be doing, like, rock or, like,
you just told me you'd be a midwife.
You know? But, huh?
You just told me
yeah, no, but aside of music, I'm popping out babies, singing some blues.
Singing blues. Here she comes.
Hey, it's a boy.
Yeah. Oh, amazing. Well, thank you very much for coming out.
Much.
Really appreciate your time. And hopefully we're going to hear some music now.
Yeah.